for the Free Software Project and the award for the Free Software Project of Social Benefit. And does everybody have a copy of the JavaScript article? If anybody doesn't, we have a few more that can be handed out.
Is it online?
I will put it up online momentarily. But it's the one thing. That is it, yeah. It was at the registration table.
We've been fighting to liberate the programs that we're invited to install on our computers. And of course, if you get a copy of a typical GNU/Linux distribution, it will have a long list of packages you could install, and some of them are proprietary software, which is why we can only recommend a handful of the existing GNU/Linux distributions, the ones that are entirely free. But something snuck up on us on the side. It turns out that installing a package is not the only way software gets into your computer and then gets run by you. Because there are some programs that install plugins. So since several years ago, we've started to campaign against the non-free plugins that browsers such as Firefox invite people to install. That's why we have IceCat, which has only free plugins. The non-free plugins, it doesn't mention. Of course, then there are other ways that your browser might invite you to install a program. For instance, some web pages say, how about installing Adobe non-free PostScript reader? Or how about installing the non-free Flash player? So we've had to work very hard on fighting against that. But now there's another problem that we noticed. There are other non-free programs that your browser installs and runs and doesn't even mention, because they're written in JavaScript and they're included in a web page, and just by looking at the web page, you run the program. Now, sometimes it's installed temporarily and it sits in, it's in your browser just for maybe minutes. Other times it hangs around. You know, there could be a cache, and then there are ways that some JavaScript programs get installed semi-permanently into your browser. But either way, as far as I'm concerned, the program is getting installed on your machine and running there. And the browser is keeping you in the dark about this so that you don't even notice, you don't even get a chance. It's in your browser just for maybe minutes. Other times it hangs around. You know, there could be a cache. And then there are ways that some JavaScript programs get installed semi-permanently into your browser. But either way, as far as I'm concerned, the program is getting installed on your machine and running there. And the browser is keeping you in the dark about this so that you don't even notice, you don't even get a chance to think about whether this is what you want to have happen on your machine. So, last summer I started working on how to combat this pathway by which non-free software gets into our computers. And here you see the results. Basically, we had to develop a criterion for when JavaScript is non-trivial, because there's some very trivial JavaScript that can just display a menu and other such things, and it would be pointless to make a fuss about that. So we had to work out what seems like an adequate criterion for non-trivial JavaScript, one that doesn't require a human being to judge, but that can be evaluated automatically. And then we have to propose what needs to be done to create the infrastructure to help people refuse to run non-free, non-trivial JavaScript programs so that we can start pressuring the servers that transmit these to start freeing them up. Now, occasionally these programs are very large. The one that's used for Google Docs, I'm told, is 0.5 meg in the form of ObfuScript, which is JavaScript when you squeeze out all the white space and make every name one letter so that nobody can understand the program. But a lot of them are fairly short, and there's no particular reason why the company would care if their JavaScript program were free, and no particular reason they would stubbornly refuse to do it if they had people pushing them to do it. So I have high hopes that if we can get enough people to start complaining, that they'll start doing, that they'll start making most JavaScript programs free. So here you see how we propose for people to label their free compressed or compacted JavaScript programs, how to say where to find the source code, and how to change browsers so that A, they won't run non-free JavaScript programs that are non-trivial, and B, so that you can reliably get a chance to run modified versions of the free JavaScript programs. Because here's a peculiar wrinkle. If you automatically run the JavaScript that comes in the web page, if you don't have a chance to say, no, don't run that version, run my version, then in effect, you don't really have the freedom to change that program. It's the same kind of problem that TiVoization causes, even though this is a different mechanism. It isn't TiVoization. But it has the same result, which is that theoretically you can change the program, it's just that when you're running it over here, you can only run the unchanged version. And thus, it's unacceptable for the same reason TiVoization is unacceptable. Practically speaking, freedom one, the freedom to study and change the program, means you've got to be able to run your version instead of some other version. Now, this is one side of the problem that web applications cause for computer users' freedom. The other side has to do with the software on the server. And as I see it, the place where that's mainly an issue is when the program is used for doing your computing. That is, when you do your computing with somebody else's copy of a program, then you never control your computing, because even if it's free software, the one who owns the copy is the one who controls it. And that's not you, so you don't control your computing. So we're going to have to reject software as a service. But this doesn't mean the majority of web servers, because most of them are doing a broad range of other things. And the problems I see in software as a service don't apply to web servers that are used for distributing information or inviting people to search some information, or e-commerce, or for collaborative development of something. So those I see as being different kinds of issues. Software as a service is a rather narrow category of web servers, but we've got to pay attention to it. If somebody says, don't do your computing by running the program yourself, let us run it for you, this is something you have to watch out for. But for now, we're going to tackle the JavaScript side of things, which is very directly distribution of non-free software to the user. So, well, it looks like I didn't even need all the time I've got, so I might as well move on to giving the free software awards. So, which one is getting the award first?
Beats Venema.
Oh. Free software award. Okay, so this one is the free software award, which we will give to Veets Venema, the developer of Postfix.
Can I get a few photographs together?
Yes.
Where's our camera guy? Oh, there he is. Well, I guess with that lens, you could take that picture from the back of the hall.
This is too big.
I think it's a standard size.
Yes, but this is bigger than I expected.
Oh.
Excellent.
So there's a microphone up there. Beats, can you say a few words?
So I'm sorry, I didn't actually prepare any speech for this, so I will keep it really, really short. Thank you very much for the award. It's now almost 11 years since I started working on Postfix, and it has grown quite a bit, not just in size, but also in functionality, which is a good thing. So I think I'll leave it by here. Thank you very much again. See you later.
And now we have the award for applying the ideas of free software or free software to other social issues. And this goes to Creative Commons. So who is accepting the award? Now I use some of Creative Commons' licenses, and I'm very happy with the work they do. There's just one other thing I wish they would also do, and that is start advocating the freedom to share. All the Creative Commons licenses give the users the freedom to share. Now, what you need to do is start saying, this is what's right, and we're doing it because it's right.
Thank you. It's an incredible honor to receive this award. Creative Commons ought to be giving an award to the Free Software Foundation, because without the FSF and Richard Stallman, Creative Commons would not have been possible. I guess one small thing people might not realize about Creative Commons is that we actually write some free software in support of our mission. In fact, Ashish is one of our software engineers, and I started off as one there. And one piece of free software, a very small piece, is actually JavaScript, and it's under the GPL, and the Free Software Foundation actually has used our GPL JavaScript code, a little widget we wrote to put on web pages to make it easier to make donations to Creative Commons, and Free Software Foundation took that and changed it and used it as the GPL allows. And I guess just one other thing I would say is that it's interesting how young Creative Commons and the free culture movement, or whatever you want to call it, and I know some people say that those aren't exactly the same thing, and they aren't. when you realize that PostFix is 11 years old, Creative Commons is 6 years old. I remember when PostFix was a brand new project and everybody was still running Sendmail. So so we're still very young, and I appreciate all of the lessons that Richard and many of you have taught us, in particular people like Mako Hill and others whose names I'm forgetting now. So please continue to teach us those lessons and apply the lessons of free software to your other activism, including in free culture. And I just one other sort of, this is a little bit of an apology, but I can remember when people were still having advocacy wars on Usenet. And it seems like most then people advocating for GNU Linux were often telling programmers, you really need to release your code. And it was, even though the end goal was freedom for users, enough programmers had to be convinced to begin with. And I think that's the place where we've been in the culture space for a while. But I do want to begin advocating from the user's perspective more strongly going forward. So thanks a lot.
So we're now done. Thank you for coming.
We have a couple quick announcements. Is Deb around? Remind me if I forget one of them. First of all, please take any plates and things out of the room with you, because we get fined for cleanup, and that's not a good use of your membership dues. And we have an unconference tomorrow, so please make sure to submit your session ideas and look at what's there on the wiki and what's outside on the boards. And I feel like there's a third thing I'm forgetting, but we are going from here to Redline in Harvard Square. You can ask any of the staff for directions on how to get there for dinner and drinks after this. So hope to see everybody there, and please come tomorrow as well. Oh, comment forms are what I forgot. I think everybody has those. If not, they're at the registration table. This is our first attempt at turning this into a two-day conference. We'd really appreciate any advice you could give us so far or during the day tomorrow on what we could do better for next time around. So, thank you, everybody.